We're going to go and read Matthew 6:25 and some more too. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. Gets up there. Awesome. Okay, so I'll go ahead and read that. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet the heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And then I'm going to have you guys skip down to verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Dear Jesus, I just thank you for this time that you've given us. I just thank you for the opportunity to come and gather and to worship you. I just pray that you would give us a deeper understanding of the love that you have for us and the way that you really are. And I just pray that we have a good time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a show of hands, how many of you guys feel like you have something to be worried about? I know I do. Like, I have, like, something constantly. It changes day to day, but sometimes there's this one main thing that we are worried about. And for me, there's a bunch of different things. There's college, like where I'm going to go to college, if I ever finish school, like it's like a long process, my grades. And then I know for some of you guys might be worried about like future spouse. Like I have my husband right there who I totally forgot to acknowledge in my thank you. He's a very big part of that. Sorry, David. Anyway, you might be worried about who you're going to marry or whether it's the right person or just like there's so many things, money, your job, there's just a multiple amount of things that you can be worried about. And I was just thinking about that because I tend to have a lot of anxiety. I do worry about stuff all the time. And I was wondering and I was asking myself the question, why do we worry? Like, why do we get that feeling on our stomach? I don't know about you guys, but I get sick and like, I'm like, what's going to happen, you know? And so I looked up worry in the dictionary. Yeah. And the definition is a state of anxiety or uncertainty over actual or potential problems. So what I wanted to highlight was at the core of our worry is uncertainty. We worry about things in the future because we don't know what's going to happen. It's like so unclear. You like, you could die today. Who knows? But what I wanted to ask you guys, and I'm so glad Billy is here because he already knows the answer. Exactly. But what is one thing we never have to be uncertain about? It's Jesus. It's God. He's never changing. He doesn't change. He is the only thing in our life that we don't have to be uncertain about. And like it says in Matthew, he takes care of the birds. The birds don't have to gather seed. They don't have to gather food. He takes care of the birds. So why wouldn't he take care of you? And I love that because it just reassures to myself that I'm better than birds. I hate birds. Anyway. But I think that really, like, deep down, we fear the future because we lose sight that God is in control. We never have to be uncertain about God's character, but we tend to lose sight of that a lot. And so that got me thinking, why are we so uncertain about God's character? And I think that it's something, well, I know that the reason for me is that when people let me down, it, like, creates a fear in my heart. Like when I expect someone to be there for me and they're not there, I get hurt and it like hurts me. And then I don't expect them to be there for me anymore. And I think that we expect this from God because of how people have treated us in our past. At least once in your life, you're going to let someone down. And at least once in your life, someone you love is going to let you down. And that's okay, because we're human. We make mistakes, and that's just the way it is. Like, you have to learn how to forgive and forget, but the problem is that we use that fear and, like, that, like, loss of trust, and we place it on God. We're, like, just expecting him to fail us. And I do this all the time. I just don't expect him to be there for me. And then I, like, finally realize God doesn't change. He's constant. He doesn't, like, falter in his love for us. And he is not human, which is going into my second passage. It's Numbers 23:19. If you want to turn to there. Is everyone there? There it is. And it's 23:19, and it says, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Another version, it says, has he ever promised and not carried it through? I want you to think about that. Has he ever promised and not carried it through? He's not human, so he doesn't change, so he doesn't go back on his promises. And then I have a couple more verses that just prove my point. So if you'll turn to Isaiah 65:24, it says, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. So when you're worried about something, when you could be like whatever, like I said, grades. It could be you're worried about this grade and you have all this anxiety about it. But it says, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Not saying that you're going to get an A if you don't study. Just want to make that clear. But the thing is God is bigger than grades. And your life is bigger than grades. And yeah, it's good to get good grades, and yes, it's good to, like, succeed in life, but it doesn't make you valuable. The fact is God's going to cover you. God's in love with you. He's going to take care of you. That's why you're valuable. That's why you have value. So I like that verse a lot. And then Hebrews 13:8, and you guys don't have to turn there. It's just the one that says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we all know that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are three in one. They're the Trinity. So you can say God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can say that the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. It's all interchangeable. So he's not changing. He's not going to, like, leave you. And he is there for you. And then one last verse on this section is Psalms 56, verse 3. And it says, 3 and 4, sorry. And it says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Another version says, what can mere mortals do to me? I love that a lot because it reminds me of Thor. He's like, I don't know. He, like, says something like that, mere mortals. What can you do to me? I love that. Anyway, when we are worried, we're saying that we don't trust God and that we're taking control of our own life. It's saying that God is not big enough to handle our problems, which is kind of crazy because he created the entire earth, so why wouldn't he be able to take care of your problems? And like it says back in there, if he's going to take care of the birds who don't have to worry about food or being warm, then he's going to take care of you. If the birds are of so much importance, then why wouldn't you be? The person who he, like, intricately created. But when we say that, when we're worried or when we are not giving that up to God, it's a form of sin. It's saying that God isn't good enough for us, that our worry is more important than he is. And so I just would encourage you to give that up to God. how do we stop worrying and start trusting him? And the main key to that is humility. It's being able to ask for help and being able to say that you can't do it alone. That's like the, as basic as it gets. You like can like lay down on the floor, which I have done. I'm not lying. Lay down on the floor, crying your eyes out, saying, "God, help me." That's like that's what he wants to hear. It's not like he wants to see you in pain, but he wants you to ask for help. That's what he wants. And so I want you to go to James 4. Four verse six, and it says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So when you're humble, you ask for help. He's going to help you. He's going to meet you where you're at. And like it says, like while you are still asking me, I've already answered that. Like that's already done. And so really the key is like just admitting that you need him. And then one last verse. This is the last one, I promise. And it's 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. And I really want you guys to really hear this one. This is probably the main, like, I don't know. It's just a really good verse. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." Casting all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So give up control of your life. I have a story of just my life. When I was younger, probably around middle school, I had a very deep worry and anxiety that I would never find someone that would love me, like a husband, like I would never find a spouse. And it made me so, like, I had such great anxiety over it that, like in eighth grade, I kid you not, I was so worried about this that my eyebrow balded. And I have a picture to prove it. I don't know, can we get that picture up? There it is. That is me in eighth grade. And it was like caused by anxiety. I was so worried about finding someone that my eyebrow fell off. Who does that? What the heck? That's crazy. And this is something that I like have problems with my entire life. I do worry about things. I always am worried about things. And I think that's something that a lot of us do have to deal with because that's life. But my eyebrow fell off. Like, really? Oh, yeah, it was awful during the time. I can laugh about it now. Like, now, like, just recently I can start laughing about it. But the thing is, like, I was so worried about finding someone who would love me like that, that it started, like, I had to spend at least, like, an hour in the mirror. And I didn't even wear that much makeup, so I'm not sure what I did for that entire hour, but I think I just stared at myself, making sure everything was perfect. And, like, I had such great anxiety over that, like, thinking about, like, who's gonna see me today? Who's gonna talk to me? I wonder if any guys think I'm cute. Like, I'm not kidding. I was, like, legitimately boy crazy. And it was like that for a while. I mean, like, I was like that until my sophomore year in high school when a boy I really liked just stopped talking to me. Like, complete rejection. And it hurt me more than I thought it would. Like, I suddenly realized that, like, we weren't even dating. Like he didn't even, like, say he liked me. He just stopped talking to me. And, like, it gave me such a heartbreak that I was like, why did this affect me so much? We weren't even, like, dating. There was nothing in between us. I just, like, had a crush on him. And I got this book, and it's called Lady in Waiting. I know. It's, like, really, it's really corny, but at the same time, it's actually really great. But, like, it was for me. And, like, if you're struggling with, like, the idea of being insecure about your spouse, girls especially, because it's called Lady in Waiting. But I would just really encourage you, because like this book actually was a turning point in my life. And it was actually this specific paragraph that I wanted to read to you guys. I'll just go ahead and go into it. In the days Jesus was on earth, when a young woman reached the age of availability for marriage, her family would purchase an alabaster box for her and fill it with precious ointment. The size of the box and the value of the ointment would parallel her family's wealth. The alabaster box would be part of her dowry. When a young man came to ask for her in marriage, she would respond by taking the alabaster box and breaking it at his feet. This gesture of anointing his feet showed him honor. One day when Jesus was eating in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came in and broke an alabaster box and poured the valuable ointment on Jesus' head. And this is in Mark 14. The passage in Luke 7 that refers to this event harshly describes the woman as a woman in the city who was a sinner. That's pretty harsh. But, yeah. Okay. This woman found Jesus worthy of such sacrifice and honor. In fact, Jesus memorialized her gesture in Matthew 26:13. This gesture had such meaning that not only did she anoint Jesus for burial, but she also gave her all to a heavenly bridegroom. Yes, she was a sinner, but who isn't, according to Romans 3:23? But this sinner had dreams and wisely broke her alabaster box in the presence of the only one who can make a woman's dreams come true. What is in your alabaster box? And I just want you guys to think about it. I know it's more focused on like spouse, but there can be anything in your alabaster box. It's your deepest, darkest worry. It's a thing that may keep you up at night. It could be self-hatred. It could be in any number of things. It could be just as simple as getting good grades. But there's something that you probably are worried about. What is in your alabaster box? Is it full of fantasies that began as a little girl while you listened to and watched fairy tales about enchanting couples living happily ever after? Have you been holding on tightly to your alabaster box of dreams, frantically searching for a man worthy of breaking your box? Take your alabaster box to Jesus and break it in his presence, for he is worthy of such an honor. Having responded to your heavenly bridegroom in such a manner, you can wait with confident assurance that, if it be God's will, he will provide you with an earthly bridegroom. Or you can also say it's not even he will provide you. If it's God's will, he'll provide you with good grades. He'll provide you with that new car that you need. Like, if it's in God's will, he's going to take care of you. Like, he'll be there. He's God. He'll take care of it. How do you know if you have broken your alabaster box at the feet of Jesus? Such a decision will be reflected in reckless abandonment to lordship of Jesus Christ. When the Lord gives you a difficult assignment, such as another dateless month, or like 13 dateless years, you receive his terms without resentment. Your attitude will reflect Mary's response to the angel when she, as a single woman, was given the most difficult assignment. Mary said, "I belong to the Lord, body and soul. Let it happen as you say." A 16-year-old girl getting pregnant with I just want to say this, like, Mary had a baby out of wedlock, and she says, "I belong to the Lord, body and soul. Let it happen as you say." That is not my response. That is not the way I would respond. Just wanted to highlight, Mary was obviously way more awesome than me. Take your alabaster box with your body, soul, dreams, and entrust them to Jesus. When he is your Lord, you can joyfully walk in the path that he has for you. That was the passage that changed my life when I was, 14. I stopped caring about what guys thought about me. I didn't have the anxiety. My eyebrow grew back. Yeah! But another significant change that happened, which actually I was just talking to Linda about this the other day, was that before I gave this up to God, I was quiet. I was insecure. I was very awkward. She could probably tell you better than I could. But, like, I was not the person that you see today. Now I can come up here and talk to you guys. I would never have been able to do that if I hadn't give up my worries to the Lord. Like, that's, like, how big it is. Most of you don't know me when I was like that. But it was pretty awkward. And I just want to encourage you that if you're struggling with coming out of your shell giving up your worries has a powerful effect. Because when you give up your insecurities, you're giving them to God. You don't have to deal with them anymore. You can start being who you're made to be. I was going to have Scott come up and play, but I don't know where he is. I would like you guys to take a minute and think about what you've placed in your alabaster box. And I know it's kind of a girly way to describe it, but be thinking about the thing that you are worried about, the thing that keeps you down, that keeps you insecure. And I just want you to really, like, be rest assured that God is the God that you can cast your worries onto because he cares for you. He wouldn't have created you. He wouldn't have made you if he didn't love you. So just take a minute, and Scott's going to come up here, hopefully, and play, and we're going to have, like, a response time. Oh, Cecilia's going to come. Yay, Cecilia! And actually, I'd like you guys to stand, too. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. And so as you're thinking about what is in your alabaster box, I would encourage you guys, if you want, either come forward or go to a, like, specific place in the room where you can, like, really just focus on yourself and not worry about what anybody else is doing. And if you're really into it, this is what I did. I did it in my bedroom, like, one sophomore year. I didn't actually break anything, but I, like, held it in my hand, and I said, I'm breaking my alabaster box for you. Like, and I, like, had it in my hand, and I just let it go. I didn't have a physical box to break. But I encourage you, when you have something and you have it symbolically, like, you can be holding something invisible in your hand, but the act of letting it go is really, like, it actually really helps, at least for me. I'm going to pray, and then you guys can respond in any way that you feel comfortable. Dear Jesus, I just thank you for your love for us. I thank you that you are a good God and that you want to take care of us. I just pray that tonight we feel confident and we feel our trust being renewed in you, God. And I just pray that you give us the strength to break our boxes and to give up our worries to you. I just feel like something that you might be worried about is family members who don't know the Lord. And it's really difficult when you believe something so strongly and so assuredly in your heart when a family member does not believe the same things you do. And it can cause a lot of worry and can cause a lot of stress. And just encourage you, if you have a family member that you're worried about, to give that up to God. I also feel like if you have problems with your self-image, I know this is an especially tough one for girls, and I just want to encourage you to really give that up, because when you give up your insecurity of not being beautiful, that's when you actually start being beautiful. People can see that confidence coming out of you, and it really is a huge difference. And I just encourage you, if you have problems where you feel like you're ugly all the time, it's not true. It's a lie from the devil. And I just want you to give that up to God if you want to. You should. And one of the last ones I wanted to specifically highlight was, if you're worried about your future spouse, that can be kind of a big one. And I know it was for me, it was just huge. Like, I couldn't get over that fear of being alone for the rest of my life, or maybe marrying the wrong person, or I don't know. There's just so many things that can come along with that. And a year and a half after I completely gave that worry up to God, I met David, who's now my husband. And so I just want to encourage you that God does hear those things, and he does answer those kinds of prayers. It's not too little or whatever, too ridiculous for him. And really encourage you to give that up too.
I felt to sing a song, and just repeat after me after you get the hang of it. And I surrender, I give it all to you. And I surrender, I give it all to you. I give it all to you. And I surrender, I give it all to you. I give it all to you. And I surrender, I give it all to you. I give it all to you. And I surrender, I give it all to you. I give it all to you. Thank you.
Jesus, we just thank you for this evening, God. We thank you, Lord, that we can lay everything down, all of our dreams, all of our hopes, all of our worries and concerns, and that they rest safely in the palm of your hand. God, that everything we ever hoped or dreamed or imagined, you know our heart and you know it full well. For you're the one who put it there. You designed us and you made us exactly how we are. The way that we worry, the things that we dream about, the things that get under our skin, you designed us that way. It's not foreign to you and you're not ashamed of it. And we thank you, Lord, that we can give it back to you and that you can set us free. And I thank you, Lord, for this message of freedom, God, that we can come before you and cast our cares and our worries and our anxieties and our dreams back into your hands because you care for us and because you care about them. I thank you, Jesus, that you are sovereign and that you have everything in control so that we don't have to be in control. I praise you, Jesus, that I do not have to be in control of my own life, that I don't have to be the one who makes everything happen, that I don't have to be the person who makes the world go round or makes my own success, that I can trust you, that you are fully trustworthy. Lord, I pray that you would seal the work that's been done here in these hearts of these people who are responding to you tonight, those who have truly chosen to break open that alabaster jar and lay it before you, their hopes, their dreams, their cares, their concerns, in exchange for freedom, in exchange for trusting you, that they can go on and live who they're supposed to be. I pray that you would meet them in their need. You would meet them in that concern. You would meet them in that worry. And you'd give them comfort. I pray that you would bless every person who's here tonight. Continue to speak to us as we leave this place. About our dreams, about our worries, about our anxiety, God. And that you would just whisper to us or speak boldly to us. You can let that go. Let it go. I got it. Thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.